Yeah, the Holy Spirit. Took y'all a while, didn't it? Praise the Lord. You know why we're teaching on the Holy Spirit? That's a good one. You know what? I need it too. I want to know all I can about the greatest person that I'll ever meet in this earth. The person that's going to lead me, guide me, show me things to come. The third part of the Godhead, the Trinity that lives inside of me. The same power that resurrected Jesus from the dead. You don't think I want to know more about Him? Amen. Oh, I tell you what, I believe every Christian ought to yearn to know more about the Holy Ghost. Amen? Because as we have shared with you over these weeks now, I believe your Christian walk and your walk with God is really determined by the level of skill that you develop in your interaction with the Holy Spirit. Now let that just absorb, because some of you, you know, just nod your head and act spiritual like you understand what I've just told you. But we're going to teach you. You're not part of the unlearned. You're not part of the ignorant. Come on. You've got opportunity to learn tonight. And you're going to learn in Jesus' name. So open your Bibles right quick. Let me pick up where we left off, because we had so many things last week. I tell you, just progressively, you know, the Holy Spirit intensifies the things that we talk about. And here's what Jesus said. Let me just kind of quickly, you know, catch us up to where we are. You know, if you have to miss, and a lot of you are, you know, summer, vacation, trips, just get the tapes, okay? Get the messages. You don't have to be without. Amen. I said you don't have to come behind in any good thing. Praise the Lord. If you believe the Spirit of God will say something through this minister, through your pastor, then you ought to hear it. Amen. Because it's been cooked. The meal has been cooked especially for you. You say, Pastor, you did it especially for me. Yeah. I believe God does something especially for every one of you. Every one of me in here tonight can receive what you need from the Spirit of God. Now, you may not hear the same thing that the one on the left hears or the right hears, but you'll hear what you need to hear. If your heart is open, if you have an ear to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to the church, right? Isn't that how the Holy Spirit works in the church? When we assemble ourselves together, when we come and we begin to worship God and come together, what have we done? We've created an atmosphere. Okay? And we'll get into some more of that a little bit later. I've got some more things here about creating the right kind of atmosphere. But one of the ways is that we get into worship like we did tonight. We come hungry. We come expecting God to do something in our life. We're not casual inquirers. We are not lukewarm Christians. We are not just Sunday morning only, you know, people that just confess and name Christianity. We are in hot pursuit of the things of God. Amen. You made great effort to get here tonight. I really believe you did. How many are here tonight because you have to be? Nobody's going to raise their hand, are they? You know why you're here? Did anybody make you come? You say, my mama did. No, listen. You're here because you love God. You're here because you want all that God has for your life. Yeah. Amen. You could have stayed home and watched, you know, something. You could have stayed home and said, oh, me, my back aches, my tummy aches, and I just need a break. You could have said all those things, but you made a decision, a quality decision to get here. So I believe you qualify as, you know, many are called, few are chosen. Who are the chosen? The ones that showed up. Come on, say, I showed up. All right. Luke 24, verse 49, red letters. Jesus said, behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but you tarry, you wait in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. Jesus said that Underline the word endued, because it means to be clothed with or armed or furnished with what is necessary. How many know that the Holy Spirit will clothe us, He will arm us, He will give us whatever is necessary to succeed or to have success in life. That's why we need to know everything we can possibly know about the person of the Holy Spirit. He said you will be endued, you will be armed, you will be clothed with what? Dunamis. I mean, remember what dunamis is. It is an explosive. It is a dynamite. It is a miracle-working, healing power of God. You have been baptized into this power of God. All right? Then, let's go over here and reiterate the same thing, what Jesus said. I can't go back and read all the scriptures, but in Acts chapter 1, you've read these things, but you need to see them. It says in verse 8, let's just skip down all the other things. But you shall what? Receive power, the same power, the dunamis power, okay? When the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Jesus is telling them again that as you go to where I tell you to go, wait for the promise, because the promise is going to come, and we know it did come because we read the second chapter of the book of Acts. It said they were up in that upper room, they were in one accord, and the Spirit of God came and set upon them. Are you listening to me? So it came upon them. We understand, and we know now, we should, after all the teaching that we've done, that when we get born again, we become a new creation in Christ. And what happens? The Holy Spirit comes inside of us. We are indwelt with the Holy Spirit. But there is another step, there is another experience, there is another level that when we get born again, then as believers, we can go on into or receive what is called the baptism of the Holy Ghost, where the Holy Ghost now, who is already in us, but now He comes upon us, and Jesus said that He will baptize you in that power, the dunamis, miracle-working, healing power of God. And really what you and I need to know is that we will be weak and we will be lacking and we will be not walking in victory and the things that we need to do without the power. If you read your Bible, you'll find out that Jesus did no things, no miracles, no signs, no wonders until He was baptized in the power. Till He was baptized in the Holy Ghost. Are you with me? So what makes us think, just because we are saved, or we receive Jesus into our hearts, and we are Christians, that we're going to do greater works, or we're going to have the power in our life? If you have not been baptized in the Holy Ghost, you are going to be a powerless Christian. Now, the evidence, of course, when somebody gets baptized in the Holy Spirit, is that they begin to speak in tongues. Now listen to me, because here's what happens again, is that we focus, and most people focus on the tongues, but really we should be focusing on the power. I say this because I want to talk about why, really tonight, really why do we speak in tongues? Because if you think about this just a minute, because of the controversy and because of what, you know, people have been taught and denominations and the way that they sometimes they don't really have the understanding of the revelation of the things of God, because they have not opened or yielded themselves to the infilling or the baptism of that Holy Spirit. And so what I see is one of the greatest attacks on us who speak in tongues is to make us ashamed of it or get us not to do it. You didn't hear what I just said. I see that as one of the biggest attacks, is to get us either not to do it or to get us ashamed because we do it. So one of the most Important things. Listen to me. As a Christian, as a believer, sure, your salvation is important. You can't go to heaven without salvation. But you know something? Speaking in tongues is a very important and vital part of your Christian life, because it is a supernatural communication link right to God Almighty. Think about it. It is a private line that you and I have directly to God. Now tell me that's not important. Tell me that we don't need it. See, after we're saved, listen, we need to receive the power. Tongues don't save us, do they? Nowhere in the Bible does it say that tongues will save us. So we're not focused on the tongue aspect, but we still need to know why we do it, so we'll never be ashamed of doing or never quit doing it. See, a lot of people know things they ought to do, but yet they don't do them. Everybody in here probably knows how to diet. You probably know all the ins and the outs of dieting. But the question is, do you diet? Do you eat right? Now, we can look at you and tell. You may know about it, but you don't do it. It's like exercise. Man, I know all the ins and outs of exercising. It's not so much do you know about it, but do you do it? See, almost everybody knows something about tongues. But why do we speak in tongues? Is it so we can brag that we do something that somebody else doesn't do? Or somebody, you know, other people in the body of Christ don't do? No. But we're not focused. We do not focus on the aspect of tongues. Now, I'm teaching you tonight because in a church like we have, in a Spirit-filled church, we need to come back every once in a while and reiterate and get understanding of why you and I speak in other tongues. It's very important in a church like this because we depend solely upon the Holy Ghost. We don't depend on the arm of the flesh. We better not. We don't depend on, you know, us getting up here and operating out of our education, out of our limited knowledge. We don't get up here and operate, oh, because we've been to some Bible school and we know a little bit of how to preach or how to teach and things. No, our dependency is upon the Holy Spirit to show us great and mighty things. The Holy Spirit knew who was coming in this place tonight before I ever was even born. Are you kidding me? The Holy Spirit knows everything. So we've tried to equate that thing that we understand tongues is not the primary thing when one is filled with the Holy Ghost, but the power is. Say the power. The power, okay? And so it is the power issue. You need the power. Come on, you need the power. If you're not baptized in the Holy Ghost, listen, you may have the Holy Spirit in you, but until you are baptized in the Holy Spirit, you're not going to have the power. You're not going to operate in the supernatural anointing and the gifts of the Holy Spirit without that power. Are you with me, church? So, we talked about those things, and Jesus, you can study the whole area of the Gospels. You'll find out He did nothing without that power. So I don't know where we get off in thinking that we're going to be effective, we're going to be great witnesses, we're going to be powerhouses for God without the power, without the source of the power. Are you with me? So when power became, Jesus began His earthly ministry. And how many know His earthly ministry demonstrated signs and wonders and miracles? And Jesus, when He left, listen, He said that we will do greater works. And I was also reading this afternoon, I didn't take you there right now, but you can write it down, John 20:22. You know, when Jesus appeared to His disciples after the resurrection, the Bible says that He breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Ghost." Well, what was He saying? Now, do you believe if He said, "Receive the Holy Ghost," Do you believe they received it? Okay. But there's a difference, see? That's what I'm trying to get across to you. There's a difference between receiving the Holy Ghost and the Holy Ghost coming upon you. This is where people don't get it. Okay? I believe what the Bible says is true. You cannot get saved without the Holy Ghost coming inside of you. And they were saved because they went to the upper room and they waited. They followed the instructions. They received the Holy Spirit when Jesus breathed on them. But what else happened? While they were up there, what happened? The Holy Spirit descended upon them just like he did Jesus in that river Jordan. Jesus was baptized in John's baptism. But remember what John said. He said, one is coming. He said, I'm not even worthy to tie his sandal laces. Are you with me? And he'll baptize you in power. Well, the point is this, is that they were saved. They were in obedience to what the Spirit of God. 120 of them were. There was 500 that Jesus talked to. Are you with me? But the 380, I don't know where they went. Evidently, they didn't think they needed the power. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, okay. So I know you have him on the inside of you. But see, you need him on the outside too. You need him on the outside too. Because people need to see the power. Are you with me? They need to see the manifestations. They need to see the demonstration. I'm talking about unbelievers. I mean, you can tell me you're a Christian. Okay, well, you're a Christian. Let me see your works by your faith. See what Paul said? See what it tells, you know. In other words, we know we don't do good works in order to get to heaven. Don't we know that? But we do good works because we know our name's written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. We do good works now because we are servants of God. Servants are special. They walk in that uprightness, amen, where wealth and riches will be in their household. Come on, somebody. So, go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, and let me share a couple of things here tonight. Now, tonight we're just going to flow a little bit here, and I want to talk to you again why a Christian needs to pray in tongues. Why is it important? You know, I told somebody the other day, you know, when somebody tells me something, I always try to discern not just what they told me, but why did they tell me that? Have you ever thought about that? Why somebody tells you what they tell you? Well, you know, when the Bible tells us something, well, it's good to hear what the Bible tells us, but why is it that they tell us to do it? Just like eating right. Most of us know the principles of eating right. But the question is, do we know why that we should eat right? Because if we really knew why we should eat right, we'd eat right. It's like we know we should come to church. And you're here, so I'm not preaching to you. But obviously, coming to church and knowing why you need to come to church and doing coming to church is all different things to different people. Mm-hmm. Okay, y'all are not shaking your head much. So, when there are other aspects here of what Paul was teaching and what Paul was sharing, because the Corinthian church here was a church that was considered a spiritual church. In fact, if you read 1 Corinthians chapter 12, he talks about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. How many of you ever read 1 Corinthians chapter 12? That's where it talks about the Holy Spirit is given to all, and the gifts of the Spirit are given for the manifestation. Really, it's not us that do those supernatural gifts. It's the Spirit that does them through us. Amen. Okay, there's nobody in here, no man or woman, who can heal. It's the Spirit of God working through us, through the life of a Spirit-filled believer doing those works and manifesting what the Spirit of God does. Okay, so make sure you understand that. So that's 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And then, you know, all of a sudden you got 1 Corinthians chapter 13, which it looks like to the natural mindset again that he's getting off base. Like all of a sudden in between the spiritual gifts, what they are and how they're to manifest and how they're to be conducted and the Spirit of God gives them as He wills, then He starts talking about love. And if you're not, you know, a student of the Word, you'll think, well, why did Paul inject, it's out of context. Why didn't he just go from 12 to 14 and leave 13 somewhere else? Because what good would it do you and I to operate in the gifts of the Spirit if we don't operate in love? See? If we don't operate in love, what are we? He just said we're just a tinkling cymbal. We're just a sounding brass, okay? So the whole reason that we serve God is because we love Him. The whole reason that we have to develop the love in our hearts is so that we'll serve God and serve other people. See, leaders are not selfish people. Let me go on this side. Leaders understand that they have a responsibility to love God, and because they love God, they love other people, and they're willing to give of their time, of their self. Leaders can never be selfish and be a leader, okay? Everybody wants to have some kind of a title or some kind of authority, but listen, a leader has to learn to be responsible. A leader has to be committed. A leader needs the operation of the power working in his or her life to be an effective leader. Okay? But we're not teaching on that, but I'm just trying to show you how it looked like that Paul was wacko here. Why did he inject that? But he was talking about, you know, pursuing these gifts, but we need to pursue them in our love walk with God. And when you get to chapter 14, he's really making a correction to them. He's making a correction because they have become or used the tongues aspect as a primary thing in their church services. In other words, they got so infatuated with the ability to speak in tongues, they were misusing it or using it the wrong time in the wrong place. And so Paul has to come back and he has to make a correction. In fact, he was never speaking against speaking in tongues, but he said there has to be a right place or decent and in order of the way we do it. Because, listen to me, really, it is an order of worship. That's why we never take tongues, interpretation tongues, the gifts of the Spirit, all nine of them. We would never demeanor one or put one over the other, but there has to be an order in the way we do these things. How many know the Holy Spirit is not a spirit of confusion? Somebody said, well, I'm confused. No, you were confused when you came in. I'm here to unconfuse you. I'm here to teach you about the Holy Spirit so the Holy Spirit can unconfuse you. That may not be a word, but you get the point, right? And so Paul said in verse 18, he said, I speak in tongues more than you all. Isn't that what he said? Okay, but listen, he wasn't saying that to brag. He wasn't saying that, you know, because, oh, I speak in tongues and I can prove it. No. He was getting after them because that's what they were doing at the wrong time. They were using tongues to get up like I'm doing and start speaking in tongues to the audience to teach them something. Now, how many know if I get up here and preach what I'm preaching to you now in tongues, you'd sit there and go, what in the world's he doing? You'd think I went off the deep end, wouldn't you? So Paul was just making, he said in verse 18, he said, I thank my God I speak with tongues more than you all. He was just stressing to them that, look, I have received the power of the Holy Spirit. I use tongues. I pray in tongues. But he said, look, in the church, look at the next verse. Yet in the church, he said, I would rather speak five words with my understanding that I may teach others also than 10,000 words in a tongue. So he was just making a declaration to them that, listen, there's a time and there's a place to use the tongue. Not necessarily never to use the tongues in the church, but making a distinction between a gift of tongue and the praying in tongues. Now, in my time of doing this and my time I have taught and counsel with people on these particular issues and subjects. I think that is one of the main areas that people don't get in their understanding, is the difference between the gift of tongues and the speaking in tongues or the praying in tongues. And Paul here was trying to tell them. He said, don't be, look at verse 20. He said, do not be children in understanding. You know, children, it's very difficult for children to understand. It'll be very difficult for your children to understand what I'm teaching you tonight. That's one of the reasons we have children's church. So you can be in here undistracted, have somebody teach your children at a level so you can be taught at a level you could understand. Praise God, okay? And so he says, do not be children in understanding. However, in malice be babes, but in understanding be mature. And so he's just talking about, you know, God wants us to grow up, but he also wants us to understand. That's why he said again in 1 Corinthians 12, he said, I would not have you ignorant, brethren. Now, to be ignorant doesn't mean that you're stupid. I think I've told you these things before, but it really means that you have not learned or you have not had opportunity to learn. What I find in talking to people about why do we speak in tongues is that they have not allowed themselves to be taught. We would never get up here and start speaking in tongues unless we have taught the church on speaking in tongues. We would never get up here and let tongues replace English or Spanish for us. You follow what I'm saying? It's important that we see this, because the gift of tongues is another, is a supernatural gift, but it must have an interpretation. The interpretation of tongues makes valid, if you will, the gift of tongues. The gift of tongues, and there's a distinction there, because sometimes it's called diversity or different kind of tongues. But you would never get up here and begin to just speak out in tongues and not give an interpretation, because nobody will understand what you're saying. Okay? So that makes sense, doesn't it? And that's really what he was saying, that really when you have received the power that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, he's already in you, but now you begin to develop in this language that we call praying or speaking in tongues. Well, now there's reasons that we do it. I could go through a lot of them. I'm not going to spend a lot of time in going through them. We've taught on these things. But he talks about, you know, again in verse 18, he talks about unlearned. Well, unlearned again means that you don't have or haven't had the opportunity to learn these things. Most people that come against people who talk in tongues are unlearned people. And you know how Paul closes this? Look down at the last part of the chapter. What does he say? He said, but if anyone is ignorant, let him stay ignorant. In other words, if you're going to reject the teaching of God and the Holy Spirit, then really what it says literally, he says that in the end, I'll reject you. Because you're rejecting, listen, you're rejecting what the Word of God taught. That's what Paul is saying. He said, therefore, brethren, he said, desire earnestly to prophesy and do not forbid to speak with tongues. Is that what your Bible says? Now, why would any pastor of any congregation stand up and forbid his congregation to speak in tongues and say that tongues is of the devil, or tongues has passed away, or God just flipped the switch, you know, when the Apostle Paul was shipwrecked and he died in Rome, that's it. No. So we have to, tonight I'm here to learn you in the unlearned things in your walk with God, so that you can use what God has given you. Do you think God gives us anything that's not useful? Does God give us stuff that we just one time, you know, throw it away? No. Timothy talked about, we're out of time. Timothy talked about stirring up the gift that was placed inside of you by the laying on of hands. He's talking about the baptism or the infilling of the Holy Spirit. He said, stir up the gift. Okay, but what was he saying? The Greek says to fan the flame. Fan the flame. How many understand that, you know, you may have gotten filled with the Holy Spirit and you may have spoken tongues? And you say, yeah, I did that once, Pastor. Yeah, you did it once, but what happened? See, how many of you ever went camping? How many of you ever built a fire, a campfire? How many know that you have to continue to put some wood on the fire in order to keep the fire going? You lay down, you go to sleep for a while, the fire cold, it starts going out. You have to go up, you know, fan that thing and put some more wood on it. Well, it's the same thing in speaking in tongues. See, it's the same thing in doing what the Bible says do. We have to continue to, and I find out why we speak in tongues is to edify us. That's what it tells us here in verse 2. It edifies us. It doesn't edify the church, but it edifies you and I when we pray in the Spirit. The word edify means to encourage. It means to strengthen. It means to support. It means to build up. Okay, why pray in tongues? Because in the book of Romans, it tells me that the Holy Spirit in me makes intercession and helps me to pray. Now, again, I think most of you understand that, but how many of you pray in the Holy Ghost? See, it's not just a matter of doing it once or twice. It's not the matter, well, yeah, Pastor, I did it 20 years ago when I was filled with the Holy Ghost. Well, how many times have you done it since? Because if you're not doing it as a lifestyle, as much as your worship and your praise, how many know your flame is going out? Amen. Your heat is waning. Are you with me? Amen. And that's why you have Christians, you know, they're in life, there's no victory, there's no joy, they're depressed most of the time, they're dealing with all kind of issues that they can't conquer because they are not keeping the flame hot. They are not stirring the gift that was placed in them by the Holy Ghost, by the Spirit of God, which is the Holy Ghost. Now listen, if we don't learn why He's in there, then we'll never operate in the power. And we'll never have those areas of victory in our lives. So He said, listen, He said, therefore, brethren, desire earnestly to prophesy, and do not forbid to speak with tongues. He said, let all things be done decently and in order. Now, there's one area here, and then I'll close. Listen. And there's a lot of things we could share. I've heard people say, you know, we're living in a modern era. We're living in where technology and the internet and all these things are available. And I said, everybody in the earth ought to know God. I don't see why anybody would not be, somebody said, I don't see why everybody would not be a Christian. Well, I take it a step further. I don't see why every Christian would not speak in tongues. Because tongues is a direct pipeline to the very heart and throne of God. Are you with me? It's something God has given you. Now, you may move in the gifts of the Spirit, and you may prophesy, and you may work the other gifts, or the Holy Spirit work the other gifts in you. But the speaking in tongues is another area of your life that it becomes, I really believe, one of the most important things that you do as a believer. Sure, you need faith. But you know, the Bible never says that all you need is the Word, that the Word is the most important thing. No, we need the Word. Okay, but what? What did Jesus say? He said, it's the Spirit that gives life. The letter, or just the Word without the Spirit, brings death. Now, we know the Word doesn't kill, but what He's talking about, you receive the grace of that life, okay, through the Spirit of God. That's why people can read their Bible without the Holy Spirit, and they just read it like a newspaper, read it like another book. Well, why do I pray in tongues, Pastor? Well, I have to continually build myself up. I don't know about you. I have to continually. I face things every day. I face issues. I face things that, you know, I don't know. Maybe y'all don't face anything. I face demons. I face a lot of things, okay? I need the Holy Spirit working and activated in my life all the time. But here's another area, too. I don't think you should ever ever make a major decision in your life without praying in the Spirit. What's a major decision? Well, how about where you're going to work? How about a job move? How about a geographical location move? How about getting married?
Amen.
Are those important life-changing decisions?
Yes. Yeah.
You better pray in the Spirit a whole bunch before you get married.
Amen.
Yeah, but Pastor, she's beautiful and she's a good... No, no, no. Maybe she is, but what's she going to look like in 10 or 15 years? Come on. May not. Yeah, well, you know, listen to me. I'm just saying, you should never go through a decision, any major decision, without praying in the Spirit. You know why? Because life goes on. Remember the little choo-choo train? I knew I could, but listen. Life goes on after you make the decisions. And that's when people get mad. They get mad at you, or they get mad at God, or they leave their walk with God because they realize they made the wrong decision. If they would have just prayed, because of the greatest person on the inside who knows everything, would lead you and guide you into all truth. Are y'all here tonight? Come on, stand up. Is that all right? Man, I got so much here. We're just not getting very far very fast, but that's all right, because we need to learn. It's not that we focus on these things, but we need to know why we do them, amen, lest we quit doing it. It's a very, in this church, and it ought to be in every life of every believer, a vital part of your worship to God. Yes, amen. So let's just lift our hands right now. Father, we thank you tonight. We thank you for the precious gift, yes, of your Holy Spirit indwelling in us, your presence. And also, Lord, for us who have been baptized into that power, Lord, that you can work not only in us, but you can work through us. Lord, we want to be a vessel sanctified. We want to be a vessel, God, of gold and silver and those precious stones, Lord, not of wood, hay, and stubble,